is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Amen. I thought I heard the keyboard over there talking there for a minute. Amen. Amen. If God allowed a donkey to talk, he definitely allowed a keyboard to talk. It may not happen in the natural, but I tell you, it could happen in the supernatural. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And this lesson is a part two of a lesson that we taught last week, but I will give a quick review for those who were not here last week. Joshua chapter 24. Now, first of all, before I get started, I have a question to ask you. Is anyone hot? Okay, there's one hand hot. You know, so, amen. Yeah. One can put 1,000 to flight, so let's go ahead and turn our heat down. Amen. Amen. If one can put 1,000 to flight, it wouldn't matter. But we, you know, just amen. I know that they said, we have any weather, in the people here that studied the weather. I know they someone told me years ago that a comfortable degrees for everyone is 70 degrees. Is that true? What's that? 75? So the weather, you mean the what do you call those people that study the weather? What do they call? Yeah, meteorologists. You mean they don't know what they're talking about? Yeah, that's what you're trying to say? I'm just going by what I hear. Amen. Look, I'm going by what they said. And you know about what they said. They don't have a last name. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. Let's look at verse number. Amen. I don't even know what Joshua is at. Amen. Look at verse number 13. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 13. Amen. I know everybody's there except me. The Bible says here in verse number 14, we're going to look at 14, we're not going to read 13. Verse 14 says, this is Joshua talking to the children of Israel. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Somebody say truth. And put away the gods with your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. Are y'all still with me? And then he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Then he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you all still with me? Amen. Last week we saw in Joshua 24 that Joshua reminded the children of Israel of how good God had been to them and how good God still was to them. Amen. And he told them that it was decision time. He said, choose you this day. Okay. He didn't say wait till tomorrow. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Because once again, he reminded the children of Israel of what God had already delivered them from. You know, God had already delivered them from bondage, among other things. And he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. And he said, they need to make a decision. You know, he said, but I'm paraphrasing this. He said, regardless of what decision that you make, okay, you can make whatever decision you want. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And of course, the children of Israel responded back to Joshua because they told Joshua, Joshua, look, we're going to serve the Lord. And I mean, there's no way that we can serve any other God. I mean, there's no way we could give anyone else or any other God more glory than we give to God. We just can't do it, Joshua. So Joshua, that's an easy decision because we will serve the Lord and we will not serve anyone else. That's what they said. Are you all still with me? Amen. And how many of you know that that's exactly what they did for a period of time? But as time went on, they ended up serving Judges chapter 2, verse 11. We're not going to go there. They ended up serving a false god named Balaam, B-A-A-L-I-M, named Balaam. In other words, they became false witnesses against themselves because they told Joshua in chapter 24, they told him that we are witnesses against ourselves. Are y'all still with me? Well, how many of you know they became false witnesses against themselves because not only did they lie to themselves, they also lied to God. Amen? They told God that they're going to serve him and him only. They told God they would not serve any other gods. But once again, as time went on, they ended up becoming false witnesses against themselves. Why? Because they lied to themselves and they lied to God. Are y'all still with me? And like the children of Israel, we have many people today in this world who become false witnesses against themselves because they lie to themselves all the time. They tell themselves that God is number one in my life. They tell themselves that God is first and everything else is behind. Are y'all still with me? They tell themselves that there is no way that I could serve anyone else. After what God delivered me from, when they said I would be nothing, God made me something. Oh, there's no way I could not serve him. When they said that I didn't qualify for that job and I got it anyway, I knew that there was nobody but God. So there's no way I could not serve God. There's no way I could not choose God. There's no way I could not make him first in my life. There's no way I could not make him numero uno in my life. But I mean, you know, as time went on, they end up lying to themselves. And some of them, whoever they are, were lying to themselves when they said they were not going to serve any other gods. Because while they were saying they were not going to serve any other gods, they were serving other gods. Are y'all still with me? And when I talk about serving gods, I'm not talking about a spiritual being. I'm talking about worshiping idols. Are y'all still with me? Because some people put more focus on things of this world than they do of the things of God. I mean, we have people in the world who say that God's number one in their life, but they put more focus on their houses. We have people who say God's number one in their life, but they put more focus on their brand new cars. We have people who say that God's number one in their life, but they put their money before God. But yet we say out of our mouths that there's no way that I'm going to serve any other God. God is number one in our lives. And what we are doing, we are becoming false witnesses against ourselves, and God is not like that. And the thing about it is this, as I mentioned last week, life is choice-driven. God has given us the power to choose. So if God has given us the power to choose, if we choose to lie, then why do we have to lie? I mean, why do we have to lie to say we're going to do this when we already know we're not going to do it? We don't have to lie because God has given us the power to choose. Now, he tells us to choose life. I set before you, you know, blessings and cursings, death and life, and he tells us to choose life. But we still have a choice, because God does not have a remote control where he's controlling anyone. Are you all still with me? But although people know that it's God who delivered them, it's God who have made them free, it's God who created us, it's God who sent Jesus to die for us, they still say, I'm going to make him first, and they put other things before God. And as I've already said, they have become a false witness against themselves. Are you all still with me? Amen. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. Amen. Because people make bad decisions. Romans 1. We start off on the right track. And then we get off on the wrong track. Romans chapter 1. And when we get off on the wrong track and things that are unfavorable happen to us, we can't blame God, because he did not choose for us, we chose for ourselves. Are y'all still with me? And when we start serving other things other than God, we are headed for a disaster. And some people, including Christians, are living a disastrous life. Is that a word? Disastrous? Disastrous life, because they have chosen to serve the world instead of God. I mean, they see things in the world that they think are better than God. They see things in the world that they think are better than what God can provide to them, and they start focusing on the things of the world instead of the things of God, and they end up in a disastrous situation. And then they start saying, why me, Lord? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Like Adam said, it's that woman you gave me. He blamed Eve and he blamed God. And Christians do the same things today when we make the wrong choices in life. We blame the person, and we still blame God too. But the question is, what decision did we make? Who do we choose? Which direction did we decide to go in? Are you all still with me? Now, in Romans chapter 1, I want to just lay the foundation for you. Because Paul wrote a letter to the Christians at Rome. And he started the letter off, when I read this, he started it off like, you know, making them feel pretty good, you know. And he told them, and you don't have to go there, just stay where you are, all your team. He told them in verse number 7, because I'm going to go through this very quickly. He said, to all that be of Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if someone came in here and said, Word of Knowledge Ministry, y'all just got Jesus number one in your life. Y'all just saints. Y'all just always glorified. This is one of the best churches in the world. Everybody in here is going to have a big old smile on their face. Are y'all still with me? But Paul is clever here, because he's getting ready to get their attention. Now, right now, at this point, they're feeling pretty good. To all be of Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. They'd be like, yeah, that's us, Paul. That's us. Amen, amen. And then he told them in 1st of May, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. They still feeling pretty good. Amen. Now I'm going to fast forward here, because Paul goes on to start talking about himself. And he started talking about the fact that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God into salvation. Okay. And then he talks about, you know, the just to live by faith, okay? Because apparently, see, normally when we read the scripture, we kind of go to those series of verses. But apparently, based on what Paul is getting ready to say to them, they were not living by faith. So he was trying to tell them how they should be living. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So let's pick this up in verse number 18 after he told them how they should be living. You know, he said the just should be living by faith. But then he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men. In other words, now, first he was talking y'all just doing a great job. And now he is targeting the ungodly and unrighteous people. Okay. Are you all still with me? He said, once again, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In other words, they know who God is. And then he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, you all know about Jesus. You know what God has done for you. You know where he brought you from. So as far as not choosing him, he's saying, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. And then he goes on and say here, he says, because that when they knew God, ungodliness and ungodly and unrighteous, when they knew God, they glorified him what? Not. They knew God. They knew that God deserved the glory. They knew that God deserved the praise. They knew that God deserved the honor. But he said they chose to not glorify. Why? Because they were glorifying things of the world instead of glorifying God. They were glorifying people instead of glorifying God. They were glorifying the things, their money, their possessions, instead of glorifying God. Are you all still with me? Because how many of you know that as people, we're glorifying something, regardless of whether we know it or not. But we should be glorifying God. And Paul says they knew him, but they decided not to glorify him. Look at 21. Neither were they thankful. See? Lord, you delivered me. Thank you, God. Lord, you blessed me. Thank you, God. Lord, you, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd be. Tell me where would I be. Thank you, God. See, sometimes people get blessed and we don't even take time to thank God. Oh, I've been wanting this for a long time. I got it, girl. You know, man. They say, thank you, Jesus. They really don't mean it. They just say it because it sounds good. But he blessed them and they didn't even say thank you, like a lot of people do. Then look what he said. He said, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Professing themselves to be wise. Notice the Bible said they professed themselves to be wise. Notice the Bible didn't say that God said they were wise. He said they professed themselves to be wise. They became what? I didn't call nobody a fool. Y'all just read it. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into a what? Image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Chris, let me stop there for a minute. God is God all by himself. We can't understand him. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to your own understanding. He is so far above us that we can't even imagine. But what we do sometimes is that when we can't do something, we think God can't do it. God is way above us. We cannot bring him down to our level. And that's what Paul is saying that they did. They brought God down to their level. Are y'all still with me? And then he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the what? Truth of God. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They did it. People do it all the time because they don't reverence God for who he is. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than who? The creator. And who is the creator? They serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And that's what people do today. They say they serve God. They say God is number one in their life. They say he's first in their life. But instead of serving God, they are serving things. That's terrible. See, I mentioned to us last week, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that we can't serve two masters. We can only serve one master. Once again, Paul told them, choose you this day. Life is towards you. We can only serve one master. The Bible says we can't serve God and mammon. And when you talk about mammon, I told you people talk about money, but you know, it's worldly treasures or gain. Money is a part of it. Or anything that you put before God. Anything that I put before God, listen to this, Christian. Anything that we put before God is our God. That's who we serve. And we can say God is first in our life every day. We can say he's number one, but when I start putting things before him, that's what's number one in my life. That's why Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on earth, lay up your treasures in heaven. Why the thieves and the moth can't mess with you. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Even in 1 Kings, you know, when Elisha, you know, was going up against Ahab, he told the people, he said, look, how long will you be between two opinions? How long? In other words, they must have been like that for a long time. How many know Christians are like that too? For a long time, they're trying to decide who they're going to serve. When they're receiving things, we're serving the Lord. But when God tells them to do something, I don't think I want to do that. God, is it really you that's telling me? Yeah, it's him. It's him. It's God. Choose you this day. If Baal be the Lord, choose him. But if God be the Lord, choose him. And in 1 Kings, Elisha went on to prove to the people who should have known anyway that God was God. Why? Because God had already delivered them out of bondage. From Egypt, even when they complained about eating and not drinking, God still blessed them and delivered them. And a lot of us in this world, we know it's God who has been blessing us. We know it's God who woke us up this morning. We know it's God who gave us the victory. We know it's God who, when they said we couldn't do it, we did it anyway. We know it was God, and we still having a hard time making a decision who we're going to serve. But as Joshua said, choose ye this day. And you can choose whoever you want. He said, but is it for me and my house? We're going to serve the Lord. You all still with me? Once again, there's no reason to lie because life is choice driven. God has given us the power to choose. And once again, when we lie against ourselves, we are false witnesses against ourselves. And don't you know that false witnesses is one of the things that the Bible says God hates? Amen. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 6 so I can show it to you. I mentioned it last week. I want to show it to you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. I got to keep up with the time. Hey, man, I guess I can't keep up with the time. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We had a lot of people here early this morning. I don't know if it was because of the clock, the time changed, and y'all messed up and got here early, or oh, y'all were just dedicated. I'm gonna say you were dedicated this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. Are you still with me? Look at verse number 16 when you get there. Proverbs chapter 6. I just want you to see this. Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says these six things does the Lord hate. I mean, no, hate is a strong word. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. How many know that that word abomination means disgusting? It says a proud look, that's pride. A lying tongue, a hand and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devised wicked imaginations. Feet that always run around trying to start something. Feet that be swift and run into mischief. And look at number 9, verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. Do you all see that? Even if you're speaking them to yourself. And they're false. Even if we speak them to ourselves. Why should we lie if life is choice driven? Well, once again, because sometimes people choose wrong. Because they say that I choose the Lord. But I told us last week that the reason why I say us, because words for me also, there is a criteria to serving the Lord. We cannot just say it. We have to also put some things into action or do it. Because as we have heard many times, talk is cheap. Don't cost you nothing. Are you all still with me? Amen. So if we say, you know, because we have the freedom to choose, and if we say that we choose God, we choose to serve God, then serve God. But if we choose not to serve God, just say, I choose not to serve God. I mean, you know, it's not okay, but it's your choice. Y'all still with me? And that way we don't have to lie about it. And that way, if we don't lie about it, we would not become a false witness against ourselves. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But if I say it, I must follow the criteria. We talked about this last week, and I'm getting ready to speed up a little bit. Number one, I have to serve Him only. Okay? I have to serve Him only. You know, in Joshua 24, we did not look at the verse, but the Bible says God is a jealous God. Amen. And that doesn't mean like in a bad way. In other words, what the Bible's saying here is He wants us to serve Him only. Number two, I must seek God slash, okay, I added a slash in there yesterday. I must seek God slash make Him first in my life. I must seek God slash make Him first in my life. I can't just say it. I have to do it, okay? You know, the Bible says it's not those who say, but it's those who do, okay? I must make Him first, seek Him first in my life. And the third thing I must do is I must obey His word the first time. I must obey His word the first time. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times God might tell you to do something, and then people will come to try to persuade you into doing something else. And then we'll go back and ask God again, Lord, did I hear you, God? Did you really, you know, well, what did God tell you to do the first time? If God told me to do something the first time, you know, if He wanted to change it, then He would change it Himself. Because a lot of times people don't want to see you blessed. They don't want to see you receive anything. They want you to be in misery like they are. Why? Because misery loves company. Are y'all still with me? So if God speak to you, you know, and you would know that it's God, you know, when you spend time in His word, because you would know what the word says. When God speak to you, what He says to us will always line up with His word. He will never go against His word. So when God speaks to me, I have to obey Him without wavering or without allowing someone else to come to, well, you know, I know God told you to do this, but what I really believe God wanted you to do was that. Well, you know, you tell that person to get out of your face. Because God has already told you what He wanted you to do. Are you all still with me? Amen. So once again, I must serve Him only. Number two, I must seek Him first, make Him first in my life. And number three, I must obey His voice without questioning Him. Without questioning Him, I must obey His voice. Are you all still with me? Amen. And when we do those things, we show God that we really do love Him. We show God that we really do love Him. And we sing the song, I love you, Jesus. Just want to tell you. Those are just words unless we do what we say. Are you all still with me this morning? Are you all right? Amen. And see, many people do not follow the voice of God. They do not obey him. They do not serve him only. And they do not seek and make him first because they think that they are too busy. I'm too busy to serve God. I'm too busy to do what God wants me to do. I'm too busy, busy, busy. I'll get to God later. I'll get to prayer later. I'll read my Bible later. Church, I got it on my calendar for next month. God, I know you said this and that, but no, there, when it comes to God, there is no but. People get too busy. And we get so busy sometimes that we put what we are busy with before God. How many of you know that's not serving, number one, serving him only, and that's not making him first. That's putting him behind, and that's not God's way. The Bible says God sent his first and only begotten son. He sent Jesus to us first because God is first. And we have to be first when it comes to God or make God first in our lives. But people are too busy. Amen? Last week, when we closed with Luke chapter 10. And we were talking about Mary and Martha. Can you all please go back to that verse? Amen. Let me know when I have 30 minutes left, okay? Amen. Go to Luke chapter 10 because I want to get somewhere I want to get today. Amen. Luke 10. We just want to go there just to refresh ourselves from last week. Mary and Martha, sisters. Bible says Jesus came and Mary and Martha opened the door for him. He went to their house. And then the Bible says that in verse number 39, are you all there yet? Chapter 10, verse 39. Yeah, Luke 10, I'm sorry. Luke 10, 39. Plus it's on the screen as well. Luke 10, 39. The Bible says Martha had a sister called Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. And the Bible says she sat where? At Jesus' feet. You know what? How many of you know when you sit at someone's feet, that means that you're down. In other words, it seemed like to me that Mary knew Jesus was a man of authority. So she wanted to honor him by sitting at his feet. See, some people like to be first all the time. Now, sometimes we have to humble ourselves. Are y'all still with me? And not only did she sit at his feet, the Bible says she sat at his feet and she did what? She heard the word. So Jesus was speaking. And she set his feet to hear the word. Now, what that tells me is there that Mary was in a peaceful position. Because sitting at Jesus' feet, she had to be at peace. And not only was she at peace, because the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, she was hearing the word. How many of you know that there's peace in the word of God? Because the word of God tells us how to overcome anything that Satan throws in our path. Are you all still with me? Amen. So she's sitting at his feet. But the Bible says that Martha is busy, 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 busy. I mean, she has too many things going on to take time to put Jesus first. Listen to this. Yes, she opened the door for him. A lot of Christians open the door for him because we have accepted him into our life. But once we open the door for him, is he first? Jesus, come on and have a seat. Jesus, just have a seat anywhere. We'll be with you after a while. No. So Mary is sitting in a peaceful position. Martha is running around, busy, distracted. How many of you know when a person is distracted, it starts in the mind? And when a person is distracted in the mind, they can't really think. Because they're focused on what they're distracted about. Are you all still with me? Unless they're sitting at Jesus' feet. Because when they're sitting at Jesus' feet, there's peace, and they're not focused on what's going on around them. Because they're hearing the word. Amen, amen, amen. Let me move on. So here we go. The Bible says Martha was, King James says, cumbered. That means distracted. About much serving. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Beat her. Tell her to come and help me. See, not only I believe, you know, I'm going to ask Jesus when I see Jesus. I don't believe Martha was just busy worrying about serving, I think she had some other things going on in her mind. I mean, maybe there's some things in the world that that it seemed like she was about to lose a house or lose her car or lose her job. And she was, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Just maybe. I don't know. Just maybe. You know. And maybe, you know, she didn't realize that, you know, the Bible says that that God can bless me. I can do all things through Christ, or all good things come from above, or just ask in prayer. Maybe she didn't know those things, you know, and she had the word right. She had the word right there with her. I mean, the Bible was right there in the house. All she had to do was just listen to the word. Are y'all still with me? But she said, don't you care? Look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. See, sometimes Jesus is trying to get your attention. He has to call your name two times. He said, Martha, Martha. She's so busy running her mouth that she's not listening to the word. Are y'all still with me this morning? He said, Martha, Martha. You worried and troubled about what? Many things. I told you. She was talking about serving, but God knows everything. She said, no, 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 Martha, you're not just worried about serving. You're worried about many things. Bible said, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. You worry too much, Martha. He said, but one thing is needful. You know what Jesus said to her? Let me tell you what you need. You're worried about things that you can't control, but let me tell you what you need. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that one thing, good part, or what is better, which shall not be taken away from her. Do y'all see that? See, one sister put Jesus first. One of them put the things first. One sister was at peace. The other one was miserable. Are y'all still with me? One was sitting at Jesus' feet. One was running around, running off at the mouth. Why? Because one, as I said, one put Jesus first and one didn't. And this is what happened with a lot of people. They're struggling in life. They can't get ahead because they are putting things before God. Struggling, worrying. You know, my wife used to say this, and she's going to remember this when I say it. And when she used to say this, and I never really thought about it until she said it, you know. And she said, she was talking about some TV shows. And she said, you know, this one TV show, I'm not going to call the names of the TV shows. She said, this one TV show, I don't like it because they never get ahead. It's always like when they get ready to get ahead, something bad happened. I mean, it's always something. You know, they may have won, you know, and she didn't say it, but I'm going to say this. They may have won $1 million jackpot. But when they get to pick up the jackpot, Jack is already taken apart somewhere else. So she said they never get ahead. So I don't like watching them shows. But she said, I like the shows where people get ahead. You know, they start in one place, and next thing you know, they made progress. Are y'all still with me? Well, a lot of people are still not getting ahead because they, after all the struggles and downfalls in life, they still have not made Jesus first. They still haven't made him first. I mean, why would someone choose to struggle in life when they can just receive Jesus and fall under the umbrella of God and just receive blessings going in, going out, in the city, and in the field? I mean, why would people do that? Well, I'll tell you why they don't do that. It's because they choose to serve the wrong one. That's why Paul says, him only shall they serve. And Jesus told Satan the same thing in Luke chapter 4. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, okay, and Satan came to tempt him, you know. Now, notice, God did not come to tempt him. Satan came to tempt him because Satan is the tempter. Because I've heard people say, God is just tempting me. God is just testing me. No, God does not tempt us, you know. He created us, and he don't have to give us a test to see if we're going to pass it because he already knows everything. Are you all still with me? But when Satan came to Jesus, after the Bible says Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and how many of you know when you fast 40 days, you're hungry? Amen. And the Bible says, if thou be the Son of God, you know, turn this stone into bread. And Jesus says, it is written. And then he started quoting the scriptures against Satan, you know. And then Satan went on to say, well, if you serve me, Jesus, I will give you this, and I will give you that, and I will give you all these things. And how many of you know some people fall for that? But see, the thing about it is this, because Jesus spent time with God. Jesus spent time fellowshipping with God. Jesus already knew that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And there's nothing Satan can offer him that does not already belong to him. Amen. So when Satan was offering these things, Jesus says, get thee behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And in other words, what Jesus was saying in so many words, he says, as for me in my house, I'm choosing God. Because I have already chose him, because I know what he can do for me, and I know what he has already done for me. Are you all still with me? See, don't let nobody come to you. Don't let people come to you. Don't let Satan use people, because how many of you know Satan can use whoever want to be used? Don't let them come to you and try to get you distracted from what belongs to you already. Because the Bible talks about in Romans that we have received an inheritance through Christ Jesus. But because people do not walk by faith, like Paul was talking to the Christians in Rome, they think they don't have anything, and they struggle, they struggle, they struggle. But if they put God first, and listen to this, another way of putting God first is by getting into the word that finds out what belongs to us. If we don't get in the word, we're not going to know. This is a will. You know, if someone died, they said, well, you know, I left you a will. What are you going to do? Leave it on the shelf? No, you better go read it to find out what you have. This is the will of God. Are you all still with me? But people choose wrong. Jesus said, I choose God. And Satan had to leave him alone. Are you all still with me? There's nobody better. There's nobody better than him. Search all over, couldn't find nobody. And if we keep searching, we still won't find nobody. There's no one better than choosing God. See? People choose wrong. Israel, they wanted a king. They want to be like everybody else. I mean, God was their king. And they told Samuel, we want a king. See, we have to understand, Christians, that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So just because the world has something, it might not be good for us. 1 Samuel chapter 8, they told Samuel, we want a king. Matter of fact, let's go there. Amen. I don't want to give you a lot of Bible studies. I want to show you in the scripture. 1 Samuel. Amen. Let me know when I have 15 minutes. Some reason my clock is not clocking up there. Amen. I know. I got you. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we're not going to stay that long. Are you there yet? Bible tells us in chapter 8, you know, Samuel is old by now. And all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. Let's get together. We need to go talk to Samuel. Come on, come on. Yo. Come on, come on. Come on, all y'all negative people. Let's go talk to Samuel. If we team up on him, I think we got him. No. The Bible says, I told you this earlier. One can put how many in the flight? Two can put how many? You in Christ Jesus. Say you can send 5,000. You still win. That's why God told Gideon, you got too many people. That's another story. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. The Bible says the elders came together. And then the Bible says in chapter 5 and said unto Samuel, behold, thou, you old Samuel. Samuel knew he was old. Why they want to bust him out like that? He said, Samuel, you old. You know, as if he didn't know, right? Samuel, you old. And your son is not doing what they should be doing. Make us a king to judge us like all nation. Samuel prayed to the Lord. Look at what God told Samuel. He told Samuel, look, in verse 7. Samuel, don't worry about it. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know, that's okay, Samuel. He said, because, you know, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. God said, they are rejecting me. Are you all still with me? Samuel, that's okay. If they want to be like the world, it's okay. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Now, I want you to go over to chapter 12. Chapter 12. I wanted you to go to 8 just so we could go to 12. Chapter 12. Because in chapter 12, Samuel gave them some guidance to, if they would listen to him, then they would be okay, although they had a king. Look at what he told them in verse number 20. He told them, he said, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness. And then he said, yet turn thou aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, okay? He said, yeah, you've done some wicked thing, but listen, you need to turn back and you need to start serving the God. Not when he give you something, but with all your heart. Are you all still with me? And look what he said in verse 21. He said, and turn you not aside. From then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver. For they are what? Vain. The world can't do anything for us. Can't deliver us. Because the things of the world are vain. He says in verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. And then he said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. In other words, he said pretty much the same thing that Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? And then he told them, once again, he said, only fear the Lord or reverence the Lord and serve him in what? Truth. In other words, don't say, can you do that again? Thank you. Don't say that God is number one in your life, because if you do, you become a false witness against yourself. He said, just tell the truth. Serve him in truth with all your what? Heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. But if you should still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. In other words, he said, remember the situation you were in, and God delivered you. So if he delivered you, I think you better start serving him with your whole heart. Why did he say heart? Because people think in their mind, God's first in my life. But in their heart, he's not. It has to be in the heart. Because if it's in the heart, it's going to be genuine. The mind would cause you to say anything. And then deceive us and make me think we're telling the truth. Are you all still with me? He told them, serve the Lord. Serve him in truth. You have a decision. In other words, he said, choose you this day. I must serve him first. I must make him first. For the sake of times, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you all still with me? How much time do I have? 13. Oh, plenty of time. Amen. 13 minutes. Y'all have to hear me for 13 more minutes. Amen. Amen. We cannot afford to forget that it was God who brought us this far. Regardless of what you have been through in your life, you're still standing. But by the grace of God. Yes, you may be facing some situations right now that are trying to get the best of you. But I want to encourage you to just hold on. Just trust in the Lord. Because God has never lost a battle. And he never will. And not only has God never lost a battle, your battle is God's battle. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. You will come out on top if you just hold on. Just don't give in. Just don't stop in the middle of the darkness. Because if you stop in the middle of the darkness, you will not be able to see your way out. But if you continue to move forward, eventually you're going to start seeing some light. Are you all still with me? You might not be able to see it now, but you will. Amen. Just continue to move forward, and you will get through your situation. But we have to seek God first, and we have to remember it was God who has brought us this far. Are you all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. I want you to go to, for the second time, go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. Because I mentioned to us, there's a criteria to serving God or choosing him. There are three things that we must do. Now, there are many other things, but these are the three things I've been concentrating on. Number one, I must choose God and serve him only. Number two, I must make him or seek him first in every area of my life. And number three, I must obey his voice the first time. I cannot let someone come up later on and try to persuade me to do something differently than what God has already told me to do. Regardless of what they offer me. Are you all still with me? In Numbers 22, I want to talk about a man by the name of Balaam. I told you in Judges chapter 2, when the children of Israel lied and said they're going to serve the Lord, they started serving a false god called Balaam. Well, this is not Balaam. This is Balaam. This is a man. Amen? And I want to paraphrase this because I have about 12 minutes, maybe 11. And in Numbers chapter 22, Balak, who was the, was that, anybody say something? Hey, I must be hearing something. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Balak, who was the king of Moab at this time, he was afraid of Israel because God was leading Israel, and Israel was, it was tearing some people up in the valley. Y'all still with me? So Balak was afraid of Israel, and he was afraid that Israel was going to wipe them out like they've been wiping out all these other places as they was going towards the promised land. And he told his servant to go find Balaam and tell Balaam to come so he can curse Israel. Amen. Now, Balaam was a prophet, but he was not an Israeli prophet. He was a diviner. Amen? Okay? But how many know God can use anybody who wants to be used? Are y'all still with me? So he said, go find him and tell him to come. I want him to curse Israel. Amen. Now, I'm not in Numbers yet, but I have to hurry up and get there. Amen. So Numbers chapter 22 is where we are. The Bible says they went and to look for Balaam. And they told Balaam that Balak wanted him to come and curse Israel. And the Bible says here, let's just pick it up here, amen, 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 in verse number 7, because they told him that they wanted him to come and curse the people. The Bible says in verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. In other words, they say if you curse them, they'll give him a reward. And they came to Balaam, and they spoke and to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, they told Balaam, Balaam, Balak wants you to come and curse Israel. Look what Balaam said. And he told them, he said, just wait here for the night. And I will bring you the word again as the Lord speak to me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So they're waiting for Balaam. Balaam went to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord, asked God, God, do you want me to go with them? Look at verse 12. God said to Balaam, thou shalt do what? That's the answer. Don't go. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Don't curse Israel, they're blessed. Balaam, don't go. So, look at verse number 15. Because Balaam told him that, I can't go with y'all. God told me not to. I mean, it's plain as day. They went back, they said, Balak, Balaam. Balaam said, he's not going to do it. The Bible says 15. And Balaam sent yet again princes who were more honorable than they. In other words, he sent some high-ranking people to Balaam. Well, since the little boys can do it, let me send some people with some status to Balaam. Maybe he'll see them and start looking up to them. How many know, doesn't matter what their status is, they're not higher than God. Y'all still with me? And they told Balaam in verse 17, if you come, we will promote you with very great honor. And I will do whatever you say. As long as you come and curse the people. Now, didn't Balaam already get his answer? Balaam said in verse 18, if Balak would just give me his house full of silver and gold, I still cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. How many don't talk is cheap? Balaam said, it doesn't matter what you give me. I still can't go against God's word. Talking on the side of his neck. Because look at the next verse. Now, therefore, I pray you, just wait for another night that I may go to the Lord and ask him and see what else God is going to say about it. What God say already? So Balaam did that. I want to show you something. I'm getting ready to close, but you have to catch this because people read it. They say, well, God told Balaam to go. I don't know what the problem was. I'm going to show you what the problem is. Thank you. Look at verse number 21. Balaam prayed to God. Verse 20. Bible says, God came to Balaam at night, the same God that told him not to go, and said unto Balaam, if the men come to call you, rise up, and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. He says, if the men shall call to thee, rise up and go with them. Are y'all still with me? Look at verse 21. And Balaam did what? And did what? Saddled his donkey. And he went with the princes of Moab. And the Bible says in verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because Balaam went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for the adversary against him. The question is, if God told him to go, why would God be angry with him? Well, let me tell you why God was angry. Number one, he already told him first time. But look at this. If you miss it, you don't look at it, you're going to miss it. He told Balaam, if the men come to call thee. Verse 21 don't say nothing about the men coming back. Balaam already had his mind made up. Because his heart wasn't right. Because when they offered him more treasures, his heart wasn't on God. His heart was on the treasures. Why God was upset with him. In other words, he was greedy. Now, y'all probably say, Pastor, you're making it up. The Bible does not say that. I don't know what kind of teacher you are. My last scripture, go to the book of Jude. It's only one page. Right before Revelation. Right before Revelation, go to Jude. And I'm going to close because I believe I have a minute. Amen. Jude, and I'm closing. Jude, I'm closing. Thank you all for your patience. Jude, the book of Jude, who was a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God. I want you to go all the way there to verse number 11. No, let's start at verse 8. And we're going to close. Jude says here. He says, likewise, you know, he's just talking about sin and what they need to do, amen, and what not to do, amen. He said, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And then he says in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. In other words, he didn't mess around with Satan. That's another lesson. We'll talk about that later on. Amen. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. I know you might be still confused. And then he said in verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Y'all know Cain? The guy who killed his brother? And ran greedily after the what? Arrow of Balaam for what? Reward. And perished in the gainsaying of the core. What am I trying to get you to see? I'm trying to get you to see that Balaam was greedy. God told him not to do it. He gave him his instructions. But when they sent some higher ranking officials, some generals, and some colonels, and told Balaam said, if you go, he will give you much, much more. Balaam made up his mind right then and there. Well, let me pray to God at night. See, what he wanted to happen, he wanted God to change his mind. But God already told him what not to do. Amen. But he wanted the riches. He was greedy. And God said, when they come to call on you, go with them, but speak the word over them that I give you. He didn't wait for a calling. He just got up and went. Stand to your feet. If you read the rest of the story, you'll find out that the angel of the Lord was standing in front of his donkey. And his donkey, Balaam couldn't see him. But the angel of the Lord was standing in front because he could have killed Balaam. But he didn't. And the donkey was trying to protect Balaam. And Balaam got mad and started hitting on the donkey. And the donkey said, why are you hitting me? He said, why are you hitting me, Balaam? I've been good to you. And then Balaam was able to see the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said in so many words, you better be glad that that donkey wouldn't go forward. Because if he had, I would have wiped you out, but I would have let the donkey live. Balaam came to his senses. He repented. He repented. And then later on in the chapters, he told Balak, I can't go against God. God is not a man that he shall lie. I can't go against him. And then instead of cursing Israel, Balaam ended up blessing Israel. What am I trying to get you to say? Christians, God created us to win in every area of our life. And Satan knows that. And what Satan tries to do is to cause us to lose in every area of our life. And I mean every area. He tries to get us to go against God's word. Not obey God, but do what we want to do. He tried to get us to, instead of worshiping God, to worship the things of the world. And when we do those things that he wants us to do, we end up in a disastrous situation. But I'm here to tell you, God has better for us. But he's not going to force himself on us. He has given us the power to choose. Choose life, death, blessings, or curses. He tells us to choose life, but the choice is ours. We need to make a decision today. It's our choice. And what your decision is your decision. No one can do anything about it because it's your choice. But don't lie about it. Because when you lie about it, you become a false witness against your own self. You incriminate your own self. But I'm going to take the stance of Joshua. Because Joshua told them, choose you this day whom you may serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I encourage you to do the same thing, because you're not going to find anyone better than Jesus. You're not going to find anyone better than God. Amen. Somebody give God a hand of praise, because he's worthy.